梅。
I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order for the very first time in the 2017 session. Welcome, everyone. I thought we would start with an introduction of our committee members, so we will start with you, Senator Beyer.
Lee Beyer, Senator from District 6, which is Central Lane and Linn Counties.
Ted Farioli, District 30, beginning in Marion and Clackamas Counties and going to the Idaho-Nevada border. 34,000 square miles with more cities, more public libraries, more community college districts, more jackrabbits, more sagebrush. Best part of Oregon. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Boquist.
Senator Brian Boquist, District 12, Western Willamette Valley. I used to be the seed capital of the world till we banned field burning.
Senator Annie Roblin, Senate District 5. I think of myself as the entire coast, but there's a little bit on each end. So I go from the Charleston Bridge to the west side of Tillamook Bay and over into Polk and Yamhill counties, so I can abut my good friend Senator Boquist over there.
And it's 68 miles to your district inside of my district.
That's true.
And there will be more opportunities for abutment. I'm Jenny Burdick. I represent the people of Senate District 18, which is in Multnomah and Washington County, and includes parts of West Portland and the grand city of Tigard. So
I'm sure I thought it was 12 square blocks in
exactly.
Portland.
We were wondering how often you walk your district.
It is a little bit dense. No pun intended.
That's always been my argument.
Madam Chair, I was confused, so maybe staff could introduce themselves because I walked right by here and had no idea we were supposed to be in this room.
Please introduce yourself.
Madam
my
Chair
oversight.
And members, my name is Cherie Stone. I'm going to be the committee analyst for Senate Rules. I come from the newly minted Legislative Policy and Research Office. And then we also have Ann Coughlin, who's going to be our committee assistant.
And Madam, are you a lawyer?
I am not.
Oh, good.
Madam Chair, can we recognize the fine work of Erin Seiler, who was committee staff formerly. She did yeoman work and great service.
We have hiding in the back of the room Erin Seiler, who she's trying to leave us, but we're not making it easy. So welcome, Erin. I hope we live up to your high standards. Our first order of business will be to adopt committee rules. You all have them in front of you. They're pretty standard. Cherie, do you have anything to add on those?
Madam Chair, I would just like to highlight Committee Rule 19, which is regarding the executive appointment process.
Okay, and elaborate, please.
It is the rule that has been in place for the last several sessions, just regarding the timing for when a appointment is submitted to the committee and then subsequently when that hearing may be held.
Okay, and the purpose of this is to give people a chance to look at the appointments and express any opinions they might have.
Madam Chair, that is my understanding.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, 21 days means 21 days.
I believe that's 21 days, calendar days. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay. All right, Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, having read the rules twice by title and once in their entirety, I move for the adoption of the committee rules.
Senator Farioli moves adoption of the committee rules. Is there any discussion?
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Boquist.
I will be voting no and issue notice of minority report, but not today.
That's refreshing, Senator Boquist. All right, any objections? So ordered. So adopted. Okay, our first exciting agenda item is a public hearing on Senate Bill 146, and we have a distinguished panel after Cherie explains the bill.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Bill 146 designates the third Saturday in March of each year as Cherry Blossom Day in Salem and encourages residents and visitors to join in observance. This measure does include an emergency clause and becomes effective upon passage. There are no amendments, and the fiscal and revenue paperwork indicates that there is no impact as a result of this measure.
Okay. We will call our panel, Senator Courtney, President Courtney, Mayor Bennett, and Senator Girard. Oh, Senator Winters.
I didn't know mine.
It was treachery on my sheet of paper here. I do know the difference between you and Senator Gerard.
Are we trying to be cherry blight or the March date?
Yeah, so I was trying to figure out. What if it keeps getting warmer? It might be.
Oh, it's an emergency.
And Judy Hall.
Join in.
Our former Senate secretary. All right. Senator Courtney, would you like to start?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Chair Burdick, and members of the committee. For the record, I am State Senator Jackie Winters. I represent District 10. I come to you today to ask your consideration for Senate Bill 146 that will help to memorialize the City of Salem's love affair with cherries, which really began around 1850. You know, this was before statehood, when the Llewellyn brothers, who brought the first cherry trees to the Oregon Territory, soon found how well they grew, and so they could share the trees with growers in Salem and Albany. Before we knew it, everyone around the valley could see the gorgeous pink blossoms in the surrounding hills that we welcome every spring. We all know the stories of how the fruit became such a part of our local economy, with the process for brining the pale, royal, and cherries originating at the Oregon State University, and the market for canned cherries growing to serve East Coast residents and others during World War II. We're also aware that population and housing growth caused the loss of orchards, and so fewer carloads of viewers drove through the orchards in the surrounding hills to see the blossoms in the spring. Happily, the sister city relationship with the City of Salem developed with City in Japan, sparked a wonderful opportunity to renew a celebration of cherry blossoms in full bloom in the very front vista of our Capitol building. More than 150 Akiyabono flowering cherry trees now bloom every spring just outside of our very doorstep. We are so blessed. And to celebrate this annual blessing, we want everyone to join us on the third Saturday in March and to bring cameras, crayons, and paper, oil paints, and canvases, whatever your medium, to help you remember and enjoy this annual gift from the earth to us. Senate Bill 146 will ensure that henceforth this date will be designated so we will always remember this gift. And truly, it is a gift with no budget impact.
Oh, love that. Who wants to go next?
Pardon me. My name is Chuck Bennett. I'm mayor of the City of Salem, and I'm here to join the senators in celebrating one of Salem's heritage industries, which is what the cherry industry's been. We think it's, as you can read in the bill, a great opportunity to look at the history of this industry, which, again, stretched back to before statehood. It's an industry noted for Queen Anne's, Bing's, Lambert's, and Black Republicans. The hills around Salem, it turned out to be one of the ideal areas for cherry orchards. And by 1928, we had 2,500 acres of orchards in the Salem trading area. In the early part of the 20th century, Salem's cherry canning industry grew from one plant to more than 10. One of them still left in West Salem. In the 30s, Salem area's 53 growers formed the Salem Cherry Growers Association, a force in the maraschino cherry industry, which we still are. The Oregon Cherry Growers, along with another cherry manufacturing company up in the Forest Grove area, really set the standard for maraschino cherries nationally. We're very proud of this industry, and I think I couldn't comment more eloquently than Senator Winters did on the beauty of the Kawagoe Japan-planted or donated trees out on the Capitol Mall, which in Salem is a huge event to have the cherries go off in March. So it's a thing we all enjoy, and I think by adding this, it also, I hope, will prompt the city to begin looking at this as an annual event that would relive, I think, some of the older days when we had the Cherians who would put on the Cherry Festival Parade and a whole batch of other activities that went on in the community. So thank you very much for hearing the bill. We would encourage you to move it along, and glad to hear there's no budget impact. Well, following the budget, knowing anything with a budget impact might have problems, even cherries in this in this session. So, thank you.
I was not prepared.
Welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
For the record, Chair Burdick, members of the committee, I'm Judy Hall, and I am here on behalf of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. I am their special events chair, and I can give you a little bit of the most recent history, and that is the attendance for these. We started this 2 years ago, and it has blossomed, if I can use the pun. We had approximately 1,200 people the first year, and I think last time it was about 2,500, and we expect it to grow even more. We feel like it has a great fiscal, not impact, but a revenue stream that comes in for the city of Salem. And this year, we also have started a 5K race, which will help also in recognizing this. And the first annual Cherry Blossom Theater Festival by the Salem Theater Network will be held over that same weekend. It's an excellent opportunity for all of our adjoining communities to join in this and have some of their own separate Cherry Blossom festivities. And we, like I said, I'm on the wrong side of the desk here. I'm usually over there talking to you. We also are hoping at some point to reinstall the parade at, I know I'm showing my age, but I remember the Cherians. That was a great group. The parades were fabulous, and we'd like to see that again also. And thank you for considering this. This is at the request of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. Thank you.
My name is Peter Courtney. I'm a state senator, and Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the Senate Rules Committee. You've heard from our distinguished mayor, Mayor Bennett, and distinguished Senator Jackie Winters, and a former Secretary of the Senate, Judy Hall. All I'll try to do is say that this capital belongs to you and your people as much as to me, happens to be in my Senate district, because this is where we make public policy for all our citizens. And I do think that the state capitol is particularly a beautiful right after a freshly fallen snow or when the cherry blossoms are in bloom, which, as you know, will be in late March, early April. And so we, the state legislature, and I think most of you were here in 2008, we turned the grounds to this area into a state park. And this is one of the special features of the state park that surrounds our capitol. Are these cherry blossom trees. Our nation capital is known for the cherry blossoms, Salt Lake City, Utah, so it's not like it hasn't happened elsewhere. But I do think that the cherry blossom makes our state capital, which is the seat of our government, special. And so I joined with the Secretary of the Senate, Judy Hall, when she asked me to join with her and introduce this. And after I noticed the notes being done up there as I speak, and I'm trying to focus as I create my words, because I'm trying to do this in a spontaneous way without reading notes, but there are notes being passed, so I'm very distracted, and I know my eyes are inflamed and things. So anyway, it's an honor to be here. Senator Winters ordered me to make sure I was here, and Judy Hall made sure I introduced the bill. So I'm just trying to fill in as a utility infielder to say everything they say is right, and the cherry blossom is magnificent. I hope it makes you proud to be a state senator, especially during certain periods of this year when they're in bloom. Thank you for allowing me and humbling me by being in front of the Senate Rules Committee, which clearly I'm beginning to realize is its own entity and acts according to its own rules and personality. So thank you very much.
Got that right.
Thank you. And I will just say that it's fortunate that notes were passed because you might be spared some comments.
Not going to happen, Madam Chair.
I tried.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Senator Farrelly.
Well, I just wanted to remind folks that this is also the year of the 38th Annual Northwest Cherry Festival in the Dalles, Oregon. And that event occurs on the weekend from Friday to Sunday, April 21st through the 23rd this year. And I see an excellent opportunity for cross-pollination of these two great events. So one will help promote the other. And absolutely agree with everything in terms of how beautiful the Capitol looks and how moving it is to visitors to the Capitol when they see this incredible mantle of color draped around our beautiful Capitol building. But I want to know from the proponents, what is the chance of having a referral to the citizens of Salem on this issue? Because I don't understand the need for an emergency clause. And I'd like you to put that on the record, if you would, please.
Please address that.
Okay. Chair Burdick, Senator Farrelly, I believe the emergency clause was placed in the bill because we plan to have that in place for marketing purposes for this year. I believe it's on March 18th. That I asked the question too, because when Senator Courtney's office submitted that for me to Legislative Council, when I came back, it had an emergency clause, and I asked about it, and that was the reason they gave, in order for us to get it signed, sealed, and delivered for Cherry Blossom Day.
Madam Chairman, that is a cogent and intelligent. Obviously, it came from someone not elected. Explanation for why we would have an emergency clause, and I appreciate that, Madam Chair. But you, of course, people realize that gratuitous emergency clauses would wave a cherry red flag at the Legislative Assembly.
I did try to control this, but
nice try.
Limited success. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to follow up with a question to the Madam Secretary in regards, again, to the emergency clause. I just want some assurances from you and your colleagues that there is, in fact, not a cherry blight coming, and that's why we have an emergency, and that might impact my district since I lost my seed farmers for burning. So, and you, all four of you, failed to mention, and I'm surprised, the distinguished elder statesman to my right, your left, did not raise the historical issue that the reason we aren't all in pink bloom is there was a cherry blight that took out most of the industry in the state of Oregon. And since I have cherry trees, I want to make sure there's no emergency that there's a cherry blight out there and you're going to get infecting my trees again. So,
Chair Burdick, Senator Boquist, I know there was a question in there, and I would say, not to my knowledge, is there a cherry blight coming up?
I did see the mayor, though, was raising his finger.
All right.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, we've not received a report of a cherry blight yet. We will certainly keep you informed, though, Senator, if anything arises. We've got a whole path of cherry trees here we are real delighted with. And any blight would be a real hit on us and the Capitol. So we'll keep you posted.
We might have to quarantine that bridge, and you won't be able to cross.
Senator Roblin.
Just a comment. I wanted to make sure that you guys know that currently we have no state blossom.
No state flower?
Blossom.
A blossom, yeah.
In case, you know, you have another bill coming.
Some of us are anticipating the Dalles.
Roblin.
I would
like to declare you out of order.
Oh, okay.
We'll have a blossom shortly.
Any other comments, questions? Thank you very much. This has been compelling
Thank
testimony.
You.
So I will close the hearing on Senate Bill 146 and open a work session on Senate Bill 146. Senator Farioli.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill. Where is this bill?
146.
I move Senate Bill 146 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, notwithstanding the gratuitous emergency clause.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 146 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation and other language. Is there any discussion?
Madam, we probably need to vote quickly because when he hits his office, the Dalles is going to be emailing him for a minority report.
Any other discussion? Any objections?
No, thank you.
So ordered. No, we don't need the roll call. Okay, we will have Senator Winters and Senator Courtney co-carry this unless one of them decides to back out. How's that?
I will be issuing a minority report if they do.
All right, we don't do roll call at this. Just no objection. Okay, now we will open a public hearing on SCR 2. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, SCR 2 honors the 2015 Women of Achievement for outstanding leadership and service to the people of Oregon. Specifically, the SCR 2 recognizes Jan Campbell, Donna Maxey, Kay Torin, and Gwendolyn Tice. There are no amendments to this bill, and the revenue and fiscal impact paperwork indicates that there is no impact.
Okay, we have a couple of legislators on their way. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, let's pass the bill before they get here.
I believe it's members of the audience that are signed up too.
That's correct.
They're probably more important. No disrespect to my colleague.
Okay, well, we will call Kimberly Olson and Aaron Deese up to testify. Would you excuse us? We're going to, as a courtesy, we just had Senator Manning come in, so we're going to move him up the queue.
Yes, he can sit in the middle and join them.
Yeah. Well, come on up. You just sit right there in the middle. There we go. We'll let you go first.
And, Senator, we forgot to tell you, one's in opposition and one's in favor. So
we have certain troublemakers on this committee, I have to warn you. So please, Senator Manning, you can start things off.
Chair Burdick, committee members, I am Senator James Manning from Senate District 7, which is Eugene Junction City. Thank you for this opportunity to speak out in support of SCR 2. In my past role as chair of the Oregon Commission of Black Affairs, I have nominated a number of diverse women in leadership, including Gwendolyn Tice, who is among those being acknowledged this year. Gwen is the daughter of an Oregon black logger and has started the McVille Heritage Interpreted Center in Joseph, dedicated to the historic contributions of pioneer Oregonians. Senate Continuing Resolution 2 recognition of women of achievement is an important way that legislators and those in public leadership acknowledge the outstanding leadership and contribution of diverse women from across Oregon. Many of the honorees were nominated by legislators from their home districts for their work in science, writers, captains of industries, civil rights leaders, educators, and include Eastern Oregon ranchers like Jane O'Keefe and coastal leaders like Joanne Berger. Acknowledging the honorees before the Senate each year is a great reminder to all of us how women across our districts are leading success across Oregon. I appreciate the Rules Committee support and the Oregon Commission for Women on Senator... Senator Lori Mott Anderson, she's not here, but I wanted to kind of make sure I plugged her name in there for this resolution. I look forward to joining them in welcoming and acknowledging the women of achievement on the Senate floor.
Thank you for your testimony. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kimberly Olson. I'm the Vice Chair of the Oregon Commission for Women. Thank you, Senator Manning.
Thank you, Senator Manning.
As a relatively new member of the commission, I'm proud to be here to support Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, recognizing the 2015 Oregon Women of Achievement. Each year, the Oregon Commission for Women presents the Women of Achievement Award to women in Oregon for leadership and success in the area, in their area of expertise, for promoting the status of women in society, for reflecting a commitment to equity and diversity, and for serving as exemplary role models. The 2015 awardees join an elite group of 90 women who've received this award. This resolution honors four remarkable women for their accomplishments. I'll name them one more time: Jan Campbell, Donna Maxey, Katie Turen, and Gwendolyn Trice. These names represent a lifelong disability rights advocate, a community leader offering space for dialogue on race, the strategic leadership behind Volunteers of America, or Volunteers for America, and a historian providing a glimpse into the lives of women and minorities in Oregon's logging community. The resolution and those that have preceded it allows us to stop and recognize the contribution of women leaders across the state. We actively seek nominations from all sectors and all regions to ensure that women leaders are acknowledged and applauded. The Oregon Commission for Women was established in 1983 to work for women's equality. We serve as advocates, mentors, and advisors on issues that affect Oregon women. And this mission of advising the government and the legislature is not something that we take lightly. The OCFW is constantly reevaluating the effect of new policies and programs on Oregon's women, and we strive with everything we do to assist policymakers like yourselves to recommend policies that will have a real impact on the everyday lives of women in Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Aaron.
Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Ferrioli, I'm Aaron Dees with TriMet. And I submitted a letter from Neil McFarland for Jan Campbell, and I thought it would be a crime for me not to get up and personally say how much we appreciate Jan Campbell at TriMet. She's given 20-plus years of service making our bus and MAC system more accessible for seniors and people with disabilities and everybody, frankly. So I'm not going to go into all the details, but we love Jan Campbell. So thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the committee? All right. Thank you very much. We had Senator Manus Anderson signed up to speak, and
she's in committee right now.
She's in committee. Okay, well, maybe we'll stand at ease for about 2 minutes and give her a chance to arrive. At ease for 2 minutes. Convene out of recess the Committee on Rules. And we will resume our public hearing on SCR 2. Welcome, Senator Manus Anderson.
Thank you. You've already had testimony on it, right?
No, we're waiting for you.
Yes, okay. I only wanted to make
introductory comments. For the record, your name is?
I'm State Senator Lori Manus Anderson from District 25, which is East Multnomah County. I wanted to let you know that with Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, we are starting a tradition of introducing our Commission on Women of Achievement to the legislature. Before, we've been honoring these wonderful women, but we've never recognized them on the floor of the Senate. And so that's really all I wanted to say. I'm very excited because I've been going to the where we honor these women and to hear about all the wonderful women we have in the state and what they do for our state. Yeah, I'm so glad that we'll be able to honor them on the floor.
That's all I had to say.
Thank you for leaving your committee to come and testify. Appreciate it. Well,
there's a question for the witness.
Senator Roblin.
So I'm assuming that these women have all been notified already, because the last time when Senator Verger received it, it was a sworn silence until all of the things were down before they got to know, because it had to be a surprise. And so I just want to make sure
that we're not doing anything. And this is for 2015.
Okay.
These women are 2015, and you will get a bill for the Women of Achievement of 2016,
okay.
Which we just, I don't think we've honored them yet.
That's,
but, yeah.
Okay, that's
but,
what I was worried
but that
about.
Will be coming this year, too, okay. and then we're caught up.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will close the hearing on SCR 2 and open a work session on SCR 2. Senator Farrielly.
Madam Chair, I move SCR 2 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Do it be adopted recommendation.
Excellent. Senator Farrielly has moved SCR 2 to the Senate floor with a be adopted resolution. Is there a recommendation? Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right. Committee, that completes our work. The carrier will be Senator Montes Anderson. And I think we'll assign a co-carrier, Senator Manning, and then the two of them can work it out if they just want one. So, okay, with that, we are done with our business. Thank you, committee. I expect things to pick up somewhat in the next few weeks. But we did some good work today. So with that, we are adjourned. We did some good work today. So with that, we are